All right, sweet. You guys good to... Are you kind of good to go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got your list or your potentials?
I do.
I'll keep note of everyone's choices.
Great.
Well, then are we going to do as a round... I mean, I listened to the one last week, but obviously haven't done this before, so I might need some...
Oh, well, yeah.
Some guidance as we go. But I think it seemed pretty clear as what you guys are doing. I did enjoy the fact that I left you alone for 1 week and you turned our super nerdy podcast into somehow something
even
more nerdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And then you sent me today. Fuck it. I was getting back into work and kind of just seeing some emails before I go into the office tomorrow. And then I was I'll quickly do a peruse of the monster manual before I do this tonight, so I'll basically be able to wing it. You sent a fucking 400 page PDF.
Hell yeah, man.
I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Spine and riffle my pages. It's the Idle Fantasy Podcast, a bonus edition.
Nice. Yeah, nice. That was good.
Thank you.
I thought you were going purely for your own anatomy, though, initially. I was like, crack my spine and riffle. I was like, no.
Riffle my bifkin? No. If someone does want to crack my back, though, I'd be really up for it.
Crack your just back?
My back.
Oh, your back.
Yeah, it's always nice.
Oh, yeah. My absolute dream is for a very tall, don't know why it has to be a woman, but it does.
But it is.
To pick me up by the head and just let me dangle.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm really into that.
Yeah.
Zach, you're laughing. I suggest you're not into that.
No, it's just, the show's slowly becoming a slow reveal of weird kinks.
Isn't that? it's a more appropriate thing for Idle Fantasy to be talking about. To be
that's
honest.
True. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah,
we know what your Idle Fantasy is now.
It is. It's sexually drawn male rodents. It's not.
I can't believe that that's become your rosebud.
You guys fucking made it my rosebud.
I can't believe that by forces unknown to anyone, that's become your rosebud.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got away with just big women.
Big women. What's the episode of Futurama where they go and he has to
snoo-snoo.
He has to snoo-snoo.
The Amazonians, death by snoo-snoo.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a better way to go,
yep.
I'm yet to hear it.
Yep.
I stopped for a minute to have a think about it, and you both looked at me for that.
I wanted to look at the thought process. Imagine it, Zach. You've been accused of a horrific crime in a US state that still does corporal punishment. And
so
they're like, you can have someone. So you can have the chair, you can have firing squad, you can have a lethal injection, or death by snoo-snoo with Amazonian woman.
Obviously, that would be better than the other options listed.
Okay, well, what if... Okay, hang
but
on.
Firing squad's quite a cool way to go.
What if it's death by snoo-snoo and it is a complete 50-50 chance, whether it's Amazonian woman or weird...
Al Yankovic.
No, weird Al Yankovic. I'll still take it. No, I was going to say, or a Republican lawmaker. You don't get to decide, but it could be Mitch O'Connell.
No, I think it would always be better with... You know, like a 12-foot lady.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm saying, but it's 50-50. You don't get to decide.
I'm going to go firing squad. I think that'd be cool. If I've got a blindfold on and a cigarette in my mouth, I feel like that's a very main character way to go.
Yeah, particularly if it's like the French Foreign Legion who are shooting.
That's what I'm imagining, yeah. It's not like five Trumps with an AK. That would suck.
Five Trumps. I was, I don't know if you guys saw, we'll do a tight 10 on politics at the start of every episode, I think.
Yeah.
Did you see that Bonnie Blue, she of the Shagged 1,000 Guys in One Day fame. Is backing reform, obviously, because that's the world we live in now.
What the fuck?
But do you reckon that means that if you vote for them, she'll give you one?
Because
I was, as far as platforms
that would work very...
Not on me, to be clear.
That would work in the UK.
It would absolutely work on reform supporters.
Also, I want to make it very clear as well. We really want this to be just a dumb, nerdy podcast, but the world won't let us. It's becoming more political, but politics is getting dumber. Like, how are we in a world where Bonnie Blue and reform is an actual BBC News story. And like, and over in the US, Paddy is trapped in a kind of lawless anti-king world where the king is posting AI videos of him shitting on his like public. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen the AI videos, but I've seen. I mean, I try not to.
The anti-king marches. Yeah, that Paddy March. Paddy got caught in the moment.
Which we should say, by the way, the three of us are here because Paddy is doing very cool work in America.
Yeah, he's leading the marches.
But offering to replace the king.
Yeah,
because he's got more experience. He is a servant. He's a. It's called subject.
Oh, that's very true. Yeah, he knows what it is to live in the system.
Yeah, yeah. He's been ruled by a monarch. Yeah,
yeah.
And we're fine. Like, all of us are right. It's fine. I mean, in relative to that country, I'd say we're doing fine.
That's not an achievement, is it?
No, I mean, that country's trash. And our country's just a little bit less trashy, but it's, you know.
Refer back to the Bonnie Blue conversation moments ago.
We're doing fine. What in Trump's response to the marches that Paddy's leading, like a kind of British Lafayette, is he's posted an AI video of himself getting into like a fighter jet called the King Trump, or like the King, if that's the name of the fighter jet. It's him with a crown on, and he flies over the crowds dropping shit on the crowds. That was the actual president's response to a protest against his executive power. And I think, like as I said, we want to avoid talking about it, but if it's going to be that dumb,
we can't avoid talking about it. Well, Pads, we hope you're doing a good job out there leading the insurrection. We probably shouldn't. I probably even put this out as a joke because
I think that's funny. No, it'd be
funny. He has to come home.
It'd be funnier if he gets.
As soon as he's back, though.
No, I actually think it'd be more funny. And also more on brand if he gets apprehended trying to leave the country
because of this podcast. we heard you guys said some strange stuff about Jerry the Mouse.
And we let you in on the basis of that, because that sounded fine. But then you pivoted into bad-mouthing us.
Well, look, we are here. We're another bonus episode. It's the second part of the Dungeon Draft, which, by the way, votes are still outstanding on. We're recording this before it goes out, but before the full 2 weeks of voting have passed. There is... By the time you hear this, there won't be any more time. But for us, still unclear who's won that out of Liam and Pads and I. Mm. It was pretty close, man.
Yeah, I know. I think I've got it. I think I've cinched it.
Do you?
And I wrote the rules, so...
I think you all three had... Like, there was no... I didn't think any chance of us... We wouldn't survive any of the drafts.
There's that correct.
Point to it.
I think it'd have been fine in the flumps.
I did think... Paddy had a real combination of like very like reasonable answers and then dumb shit, which has kind of inspired me today.
Yeah.
But I think in general that like, they were, I don't know how you would, what are you splitting it by in terms of how you win? Because I picked a winner arbitrarily in my head.
Yeah, I think we're asking everyone else to do as well.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
There's no rhyme nor reason.
Okay, fine. Then I picked Liam because
it's qualitative research, not quantitative.
Liam was the least offensive in the preamble about me.
I
retained that goodwill throughout the episode, I think.
Very much. I'm picking up the Liberal Democrat vote there, trying to
absolutely
offend the least people possible.
I was also because Laurie was the ringleader in my, like, my, what's the word for
bullying.
It? No, bullying is one word. Defamation. That was it.
Defamation.
I was most animus towards your selections.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's
fine.
No one wants
to suck.
See, it's all to play for now. You've got to
all
pick
to
something
play
really good.
For, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to let me change all my choices to be the mathematically correct ones. Liam, can you take us through what we're going to be doing in the second part of the Dungeon Draft?
Yeah, absolutely. So, as before, we're going to be drafting 7 encounters for an imaginary dungeon. And we're going to be... Each encounter is going to feature a particular creature type. And we're looking to have a challenge rating for the encounter of approximately 10. Now, as I said before, each creature in the monster manual has its own challenge rating.
Yeah.
So you might have, you know, two monsters of challenge rating 5, or maybe just one monster of challenge rating 1. But yeah, that's the plan. And we're going to be doing the back half of the creature types this time. So the 7 creature types we're going to be drafting for are fiends, giants, humanoids, monstrosities, oozies, plants, and undead.
Nice. That means that I did this. This, by the way, is the most prepared I've ever been for a podcast.
It's amazing. Zach turned up with like a page of notes, a laptop.
I have a laptop out.
And a top on.
And a top on. And a top incredibly. But also he's wearing shorts, and it is a very rainy day in October.
That was actually deliberately so that I didn't have, my trousers didn't get wet. Ooh. I thought half trousers.
My trousers can't get wet if I don't wear any.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
You'd be better to have wet half trousers than wet full trousers.
You've got absolutely a sensible point. And yet that is so funny to see you at home being like, well, if I wear nothing at all, then I won't be wet at all.
I say, yeah, so just to clarify that, so it's each encounter, I'm looking for a total challenge rating of 10.
Yes.
Out of the numbers. Like, yeah, okay. Exactly. Good. So that's kind of, I've played a little bit, not like fast, but like as in, if I've collected some creature types into, but like under the same genre of creature, if that makes sense. It will become clear as we talk through it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hello, dog.
What is it that you want, though? You don't know.
Misha, next time I'm going to put you outside in the rain. Understand this. Yeah.
Laurie runs a tight ship.
Or an abusive
ship. It's the same for either of us.
It's true.
And yeah. I've got trousers on, so I've got a lot to lose.
I'm in with a decent shout for this overall draft, I think.
Oh, you say that.
I think.
I got some plans. All right, well, let's take it away. Everyone knows what we're in for. Shall I? Listen, I've got a little
spinneroo.
A little spinneroo. Shall I do a little spinneroo?
Yeah, yeah, spin, let's spin
the first one. Okay, here it goes. Oh.
Da-ba-da-ba-ba.
Oh. It's
me.
Slow. It's Liam. All right, and then I'll do. We'll do it for second as well. Here it goes. Who goes second in the draft? Oh, it's me.
So we're going clockwise. Well,
that's very nice. But we'll do it snake draft style as per last time. So Liam will get... So
then I'll go twice when it comes to my go.
Exactly.
Okay, nice.
And
okay,
I'll get one in between you every time.
Great.
All right.
I found the double picking quite stressful last time, so this feels better, I think.
Well, you'll see, because it can feel desolate in those long stretches, let me tell you. All right, okay. I'm gonna be an absolute prick.
What's he
gonna do now?
Give me one second. I just need to.
Because I feel quite good about my. So this is the first one for first category. By the way, then we're doing is fiends, right?
No, you pick the category.
So you pick the category, so I can take things. And that is exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay, nice, yeah, fine.
My first pick, because it's slim pickings in this category, I'm going for ooze.
Ooze is tricky.
And I'm going to go for the OG, the gelatinous cube.
Oh, I missed it.
Oh, fine. That's actually, yeah, I'm okay with you. I had a couple of picks for this, and I actually didn't go gelatinous cube, because I thought... It's just a basic bitch fantasy pick.
Well, look, it is basic. It is basic, but also I think sometimes you've got to go with the.
Is that a challenge rating of 10 then? One of those alone.
So no, these are challenge rating 2. So you'd be coming face to face with 5 gelatinous cubes.
That is tough, actually.
Which doesn't actually tessellate into a cube. So
that is annoying.
It would be a gelatinous pyramid.
Well, you can have a gelatinous.
Or there would be because we said this before, right? So this is like they're going into a room.
Shut the fuck up, Misha. Stop it. Or you'll be out.
It's actually quite good heckling. She waits till there's a quiet moment and just goes... Wait, so this is just a room of their... This is their environment, right?
We're going into a... You're going into a dungeon, you open a door, and in this room...
So I guess we'd be like, we'd open a door, walk to the middle of the room, and you'd just be surrounded by 5.
Well, look, okay, I've got a bit of thinking behind... I've got a bit of logic behind this as well.
Behind your cubes.
Because gelatinous cube, there's not much it can actually do. Like, all it really does is gobble people up.
Sounds like you're chalking down your pick here, Liam.
No. Because, like, what's the size of your average D&D party? Kind of maxes out at about 5, typically.
Yeah, 4 or 5, yeah.
5 gelatinous cubes, nom nom nom, I can get the entire party.
That's true. And they all just in there, then that's it. They live in a cube now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sort of thinking maybe it's like a tiny room that fits only the cube, and what happens is it goes like zunk and just like lands on the first person, and then maybe just slips off to the side, and then another one thunk from the same hole,
like a conveyor belt.
Yeah, cube ramp.
Yeah, a little cube ramp. Exactly.
That's horrible and terrifying. Yeah, that's a great pick.
I also, for the record, I based mine as if they were fighting the Wishbone Boys.
Mm.
I think that's a great way to take it.
Yeah, all
right, I think we said that in the last group as well.
Yeah, so I stuck to that.
So we'd have 2 sparesies in that situation.
I also think as well, for us particularly, an enemy that doesn't necessarily have a direct fighting style or something for us to react to would be the hardest thing for us to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had to come up with a plan for getting rid of it on our own.
Yeah.
It would be hard.
We're just like 3 cats with like an already dead sparrow, just kind of like desperately batting at it, hoping we get a reaction.
Mm. No, I really like that. That's good. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. What, Loz, what about
you? Well, now's the thing, because...
Did you have Gelatinous Cube on your list?
I've got many things on my list. It was my first choice, though. I will say that. But I don't feel too bad. I think I am going to take... I am going to take something from the same category because it's a good one. And I don't want to get caught with... There is, I think, one more good option. And then the other two are fine. That I have.
Okay.
I'm just looking to see if Zach has
I'm happy with both. I'm happy with both my picks for different reasons.
Okay, great. I'm going to take, if you'll let me, I'm going to take 2.5. And the half one is just going to be a puddle. Of black pudding.
Oh, yeah. Good choice.
You know what? That was, in fact, funnily enough, you said that that's the only other good pick. That was my backup pick.
Really? Okay, good.
Well, I liked that. One, because of the name.
Yeah.
I think the name's fun. But also, it does seem to be quite a... It would fuck up Teddy anyway.
I think it would fuck up a lot of, a kind of particularly martial party. I mean, maybe not the Wishbone Boys so much. These guys, in my mind, are... a staple of adventures, the few adventures I did before I started playing with you guys. We got mulled by black puddings and rust monsters, who are kind of similar. For those who don't know, black puddings have a couple of really annoying attributes. They have a corrosive body. That means if you hit them with a non-magical weapon, that weapon starts taking penalties to its damage and to hit rolls.
Yeah, that's what I liked as well.
You can fix after the battle, but in the battle, it means your fighters are going to get mullered pretty quickly. It also does the same thing to more magical armor that it hits with its attack, starts wearing it down, so it's useless. And the thing I think is really great is when it becomes, bloodied in the rules, which is when it's got half or fewer hit points remaining, it splits off into 2 little ones. And I think those medium ones also split again. It might just be a single split, but anyway.
I mean, within video game rules, I think you get 3.
I think you get 3. Yeah, rule of 3. Rule of 3, 3 splits. It's not like the worst thing in the world. I think you can beat them, but I think it's pretty fun. And I like they're called black puddings because it's also something I like to eat.
So are you saying, you said 2.5. Are you saying that the half is one of the pre-splits?
So that's very good. Yes, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I can have 2 full size
splits,
and one who lost its sibling in a terrible accident. Yeah. Or I was going to say, or the second one is like a puddle on the floor that will just sort of, dissolve your stuff a little bit.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Maybe attack. But I like that more. Yeah. 2 mummy and daddy black puddings and a little baby.
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
That's me. All right. So Zach, you don't have to go for the ooze now, by the way, just so you know.
You can
pick any category.
I'm going to finish the ooze though.
You can do, but remember, like, there's no jeopardy. Like, we're not
going
to come.
I'm going again, though. I know. Then you go.
No, you get 2 in a row.
You get two in a row. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Yeah. So I'm going to finish the ooze, and I'm going to pick another category.
Right.
Is what go I'm going to do. And my ooze is actually it's the I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but I pronounced it like the vegetable, but okra jelly.
Yeah, I maybe would say ochre, but yeah.
Ochre jelly. Okra jelly. The reason being,
I hate okra and the idea of, and they're too. They are a bit slimy, so.
That's true. Yeah.
I really like okra. I think okra makes a good... It's a good curried vegetable.
Mm. Yeah, that is the place to
and,
put it.
And is the ooze the same?
The ooze is not the same. The reason I picked this, actually, is because it's specifically a kind of... It's giant, for one, but yellow-brown. It's amoeba. But the reason I liked it was because it's got, like, spider climb is its thing. So its whole thing about this jelly is that it kind of goes all around all surfaces and kind of can climb on everything. And so it can kind of... What I envisaged for this jelly was, because I'm going to have challenge rank of two, so there's going to be five of them.
That's pretty nasty already,
yeah. Was that you just cover all the surfaces in jelly. And it would be, in the way that, like, Liam's room is a conveyor belt for a specific size cube, my room would just be... a walled jelly room.
That's horrible.
That would be horrible. Bad. Like, for every, at any point, you'd always be like encountering bad jelly. So that's what I liked for the okra
You're
jelly.
You're never free of bad jelly. Yeah, that's good, man. They isn't their thing, I remember, is that they can squeeze through any sized gap,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so they've got the whole, like, they're amorphous. They can move through any size gap as narrow to 1 inch. And then they've got spider climb. So jellies can climb on difficult surfaces in any direction.
They're basically Alex Mack from The Secret World of Alex Mack, if you remember that series.
Yes, I do.
I think I do remember that. Yes,
girl.
Okay, yeah. And they're resistant to acid, which is cool.
So don't you go try and throw in any acid on them.
But yeah, so, I mean, they're quite basic in terms of how they attack. They just kind of, like, melee attack relentlessly. But I thought the fact that you could take over an entire room with it would be quite fun.
Nice, yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I like it.
You could also have a really nasty, like, kind of maze-like room where they can get through all the little nooks and crannies and you guys can't.
Yeah.
You guys. You
Pads can turn into Jort's mouse, so...
That's true. He's always got that. All right, nice one, Zaki. What have you got? What's your...
All right, so the next category I'm going to do, I'm just going to, because it was the first on the Liam's list, but also the one I've got on top of my own document, is the fiends.
Okay.
Fiends!
I've got two options for this, and actually I'd quite like your guys' input as to what you think would be best to go for.
We're obviously going to tell you the worst one.
Yeah, let's sabotage him.
But the reason being is because one of my options comes with a deficit. It would only be a challenge rating of 9.
That's fine.
But then I'm kind of thinking, like, the challenge rate of 9, but then, like, what Paddy was saying before, I reckon it's just very angry the moment you come in the room.
Yeah.
It's just immediately, I don't know, that if the anger then gives it, like,
It's just broken up with its girlfriend.
An attack of opportunity immediately as people walk in, because it really wants to fuck something up. Or the other thing I come up with, it's two of them. But
interesting, okay.
So... Well, actually, maybe I'm going to commit to the...
The other thing is, you've got to think about the rest of your picks, right? Do you want... I think you want a mixture of, like, some with lots of enemies, some with a single hard guy or gal, or netherworldly object.
All right, yeah. I've made a pick then. So my fiend is going to be the challenge rating 9, but okay. He's really, really angry.
I think I know what this is.
It's a Glabrezu. I mean, you can give me your take on it as well. It's essentially the D&D version of a predator from the like movie series Predator, which I thought was quite sick. And it's like a big boss. It comes with all the big boss attributes of having like loads of hit points, being fucking huge demon, like the horrible fucker that would be quite like just it would be strong enough to just hurt us immediately anyway. But it also as well it relies on its I mean I thought this was specific to us, like the Wishbone boys were the ones facing these trials. It excels at charms and misdirection, and I thought like we as a group are particularly susceptible to a charming demon predator, and that I thought would be a hilarious encounter for everyone, because just the idea that one, we could get fucked up by this thing because it's stronger and like better than we are.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But like we'd be so susceptible to every time it tries to charm us or turn us against one another. I went for a one very angry Glabrezu.
Yeah, I honestly think most likely scenario, Pad sides with the Glabrezu.
Like, yeah, 100%, and
without any prompting,
it would be like the easiest.
didn't even do a charm roll at this point.
There was no wisdom saving throw at any point for Paddy. He just like was like, hey, that guy looks sick.
They do look cool.
They do look really cool. So I've gone for the Glabrezu.
Do you know what it looks like to me? I've just got a picture up. Do you remember, I'm sure you both do, the Animorphs series?
Yep. Yeah.
It looks like a Yerk, but kind of much more gribbly and with massive, like, if you gave a Yerk, is that what they're called? Yerk? The baddies and Animorphs.
I can't remember.
Do all the shifting, the shifting.
A Yerk.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It looks like one of them, he gave it loads of steroids and gave it some crab claws.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, it does. And kind of like a Yerky winged demon with arms that crab claws that's also then somehow charming and, like, charismatic.
I think it's like a lot of, I think it can cast Confusion is one of its main spells, which is super good.
Confusion, and then it also has stun. Power stun and, like, detect magic, dispel magic, darkness.
I think that'd fuck you guys up.
I think this is a good pick. I'm actually slightly annoyed because this isn't my top pick, but this was my second pick.
Oh, was it?
And so I'm feeling vulnerable now.
I know your top pick.
What was your top pick?
Fuck.
Well, he's not going to tell me, is he?
No, because you're next.
I can gazump him. I am next. I'm really tempted to take your top pick. But actually, I've got a lot of faith in my backup pick for that one.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave it. I'm going to go for... I think Nis is also going to be a very contested category. I'm going to go for Giant.
Okay, yeah.
And I am going to take...
Oh, you're picking a Giant. Okay, nice. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm going to take the Cyclops Oracle.
Oh,
but
nice.
That was my pick.
And so these are really cool. I've never seen this before. And I think there are a lot of Giants who are super dope, and I'm sure you guys will pick some. But this is quite a unique. It's a Cyclops, right? A big ogre. You're thinking pretty dumb, pretty strong. Well, actually, this one is strong, but also pretty smart.
Yeah.
It's a spell casting giant who has a load of. I mean, it's got some pretty basic spell casting options, but. Two really good things it can do. Number one, it's got a flash of light it can do every turn, which as a ranged attack, which can give something disadvantage on attack rolls as it gets blinded by,
yep.
I guess, this guy mooning someone pretty quick. It's like, kabam! Yep. And the other really cool thing it can do is it has one of these recharge abilities, which are things that monsters can do every turn as long as they roll a d6 of at least 4 for this guy. It's called Portent. So once a turn, it can roll a d20. It keeps that result. And at any other time in it, or its ally, but in this case, just its turn, it can then swap that d20 in for d20 it rolls. It gets a little bit of future seeing.
Oh, right? That's great.
I like that. That was what drew it to me originally. Was I was like, I've actually thought of all of the categories, the Giants are the hardest to pick because they are essentially just, yeah. There's some cool options. But then also, I thought they were quite... I think in my own bias, I think there's something quite dull about Giants anyway. Because they're just big.
Well, just like it's a big, stompy guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Giants are just like, oh, they're big. And they're either big and they're stone, or they're big and they're water, or they're big and they're fire, or they're big and you're like, okay. Whereas this, the Oracle, the idea that they are, by definition, something that can see through time and history to learn hidden truths. So I was like, that's cool.
That is, yeah.
They'd be cool.
Yeah. And that's why I got it.
Also, there's something quite nice about like a savant of their species sort of thing, right?
Absolutely, like, yeah. And I think the way they are in the art is very different from, like, you know, Polyphemus-esque Cyclops, I'm imagining.
Yeah,
usually.
Yeah.
I always think of, this is a very specific reference, but in the Warcraft... Cho'Gall.
Yes, he's a great one. Yeah, as a kind of wizardy Cyclops.
Wizardy Cyclops, yeah.
Cho'Gall. Oh, Liam, you know how to appeal to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's my second pick. So it's back to
Liam, me for two picks.
For a doubler.
All right, okay. I'm going to go for... Again, I'm sort of doing this because I think it's a category that is... There's still good stuff there, but I'd be worried about being shunted down to a second pick. I'm going to go for Plant, and I'm going to go for Shambling Mound.
Oh, it's a classic.
Yeah. It is a classic. That, and you get two of them.
Two Shambling Mounds, yeah.
That was my first backup.
Ah, okay, yeah, nice.
Do you
want to
know something, Lim?
What?
I
gazumped you.
No, well, you didn't gazump me, but in the game that we're playing, you and Zach narrowly missed... having to fight a souped up shambling mound. The vine, you know, the vines that attacked you on the cliffside.
Okay, yeah.
That's how my such is my affection for.
Great. Nice. Well, the reason that I like these is I'm not a mega comics fan, but there are certain comics that I like, and Swamp Thing is, I've got a real sweet spot for Swamp Thing. And there's a little bit of Swamp Thing about these creatures. They're sort of like masses of vegetation that become like semi-sentient and basically start attacking people. I've realized I have picked two enemies in a row that, well, one of the main mechanics is like consuming people. So maybe I've got some weird vor thing going on that I've not been aware of. They're like these big tendrily monstery. I mean, honestly, like exactly what you said, Loz, like you kind of like demonstrate a lot of the behaviors of these things. Like they demonstrate what seems like rudimentary intelligence, but they're just kind of almost like dumb. They're like Venus flytraps.
Yeah, I was going to say that the whole thing there is they just absorb what's near them, don't
exactly,
they?
Exactly, yeah. It's but they can lash out. And, yeah.
And two of those angry in a room, I think, would be a fucker to try and kill.
100%. So, yeah, that's going to be my first pick. Yeah.
All right, nice.
My second pick, just need to find it. Well, I say second pick... Well, it is my second pick, but it's not one thing. This is going to be a proper... this is a proper little party now. I am going to go for... I'm going to go for one performer maestro and eight performers.
Oh, now here's an interesting rules question.
Yeah.
Does that lock out...
performers.
Weirdly, for humanoids in particular, this new Monster Manual has a great job, which you're about to explain, of having these tiered... kind of adventurer stand-ins, right? Well, you know, people
yeah.
Stand-ins.
Yeah.
So I think probably by the rules, this probably locks out all performers, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what I would allow. There is another type of performer. You could have it, but you can't bolster it with sub-performers. Which is going to be pretty weak source. Yeah, no support acts.
So
I think, Zach, by the letter of the law, I think it's out.
If it is out, then I'll say for the purpose of the game that my second pick, not my first pick, my second pick for humanoids was, I was just going to pick one performer legend.
Same. Yeah. I thought it was really fun.
And again, very similar to the Gabra Bellazoo, whatever it's called, was because it's a performer, so it's got like, obviously it's a legend, it's got like really high stats because it's like bolstered in general, so it's a challenge rating of 10 on its own, but it also, well, its whole thing is charming, and I was like, again, specifically thinking of like, we would be so susceptible as three people to like really high wisdom and charisma throws, and someone basically convincing us not to fuck it up. That would, I just thought, and I quite like the idea of going into a room, and there in my head he was essentially like the coolest looking jester ever, which is still a funny thing.
Yeah.
Like the coolest looking clown ever is still a clown.
Well, I sort of want a similar sort of like striking image, but if I'm going to paint a slightly different picture. Mine is, obviously we've got the maestro, who is going to be the headline act.
So you made a circus out of yours.
No. I'm thinking a performance of the importance of being earnest, which would leave room for two understudies, and they can act as stagehands because it's a six-hander.
You've really thought about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sort of imagining like you show up and or the Wishbone Boys show up and there's just a stage there and... I mean, I do think that specifically...
That's Glitchnip.
That is Glitchnip, absolutely. But the performers themselves, like, they're pretty good. Humanoids always make quite difficult opponents, I find.
Yeah.
There's a psychological element of it feels worse to kill them for a start.
But also, they're compared to other monsters across the board, where I found when I'm going through the manual, is that the humans have all got... they've got things that counteract whatever an adventurer would have as well, if that makes sense. Like they're like normally the main drawback with like a giant, for example, most of them is like they're dumb. So you can just kind of like, you can outsmart them as an adventure troop, despite the fact they're outrageously strong.
Yeah.
All the humans are kind of comparably strong to whatever an adventurer group would be, but like they have the alternate to what you might have, like whatever spell Petty might cast, they'll have a response to.
Exactly, which yeah.
This makes them quite
kind
good,
of a like, mirror fight almost yeah. in some
And they're
ways.
A bit of a leveler. I think they kind of drag you down to whatever level you're
they
fighting
do.
Against.
They do. And the Maestro is really strong. It's got multi-attacks, got Rapier. Also, once per day, they can cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter, which is basically where you fall into like a laughing fit. So I like to think that this is like, importance being an earnest, not the funniest play. It's quite a mannered thing. But I think there's one incredible pratfall that this guy does in one point, and that just kind of like kills someone.
All right, nice.
It's so good, it kills
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just also, it's just quite an irritating idea, as in to come up against as a party. No, let me tell you this joke from one of the eight performers, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think them performing Ernest is a real masterstroke, actually.
Oh, I hate thanks. Them. Well, there we go. That's it. That's two shambling mounds and a performer maestro and eight performers doing the performance. The importance of being earnest.
Yeah, nice. Wow. Okay, good. Yeah, and actually, as I said, that was performer legend was my one pick off the second pick.
Now, interesting. Well, it's my turn next, and that makes me feel like Zach and I might have had a similar idea for humanoid as a category.
Maybe.
I think I am going to pick humanoid to get this out of the way. I am going to take a noble prodigy.
Okay, that's not what I had.
So okay, that's good. Well, then we'll all be happy. A noble prodigy much in... So as with Liam's choice, this is one of the humanoid lines where the top option is combat rating 10. So I'm just going to go for them on their own. And they are much in the way that nobles in reality probably are quite like... This is a manipulator of people's emotions and of their standing in society. It's funny, the Monster Manual says, noble prodigies taste their lineage to a legendary hero, a demigod, a dragon, or some other ancestor that grants a magical prowess. So imagining this prick being like, I'm actually Tezzeret's grandson on his mother's side, so I'm actually very cool. But the main thing you can do, they're basically a mage, a tricksy mage, but they make three attacks a turn and they're called Beguiling Strikes. And each one of these gives, if it hits, it's a +8 hit, so it's pretty good.
Yeah, that is nasty.
If it hits, the target has charmed until the start of the noble's next turn. So if I can hit each of you fuckers once with, you know, him being like, actually, I've got several contacts very high up in government. And you'll be like, ooh, and then you'll fight each other.
Oh, that is really annoying. That yeah. is just the way, like, proper, that is what happens if you ever go out with a rich, go out drinking with a rich cunt. They will set the povs upon each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let them eat cake.
Yeah.
Just starting cake. A fight, like throwing money into a poor crowd and just yeah, stepping yeah, back.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I like that. And in fact, he can. They can cast.
I'm sure I could probably actually. I've got someone who works at ITV. I'm sure I could probably get one of you in for an internship, and then yeah. before you know it, you're knifing your mate in the ribs.
Yeah, or you're competing in a game of like who can disgrace themselves more for this toff's amusement.
Yep.
Yeah, no, absolutely what I was going for here. Also, the fact that they're a noble prodigy, I'm like, is it rest in peace, Keith from The Prodigy, but dressed up as a nobleman? Yes, it is. In my dungeon, it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, all right, well, good to hear that wasn't your choice.
No, it wasn't actually. And I if that is your pick, then I'm going to finish off the humanoid picks then.
All right.
My first one. Because, yeah, again, it's kind of it's a flip up. Performer Legend was my... Well, the first one I wrote down, which I'm not sure I'll go... Basically, it's between a occultist hierophant.
Oh, yeah, I had that down.
Which I thought, like, so, but that... And so that's cool, because it's a challenge rating 10 cultist, and he's fucking stupid number of hit points.
Mm-hmm.
It's got lots of different attack. Radiant Ray is a kind of attack. Melee, he gets like
Radiant
multiple.
Ray is his best buddy.
Radiant Ray. He gets multiple.
Life and soul of the party.
multiple attacks per round. And then also has like the spell casting, like which they can cast like Jal'Arizi's Storm of Radiance, which is a 7th level spell, which is pretty fucking big.
They are nasty. Yeah.
So they're really nasty. I was like, that is cool and would suck to come up against. But then I also was really tempted to be, this is more basic, but I also think could, I think fits more within the what you guys have done for a round, and so I'm kind of more inclined to keep it. Which is, I was going to go for one pirate captain and four pirates.
Nice. That was that was my second choice.
Because I'm just going to bring up pirate captain just so I've got the pirate. This does suck to search in, by the way.
Yeah, I told you.
Pirate captains. So they command small crews, but they.
In case you didn't know.
But they're on their own with a challenge rating of six, which is pretty cool. But they can use their like multi attacks in any combination. They've got a rapier and a pistol in multi combination. But they've also again they've got captain's charm. Mm. So for one creature pirate can see within 30 feet, they have to like have a wisdom saving throw against them, and they're just essentially they just charm in between attacks, which I thought was quite fun. And then alongside them, you've had four just Commonwealth Garden pirates just helping him out.
I tell you what, have you gone for Commonwealth Garden gnomes?
But even then, the pirates are quite, they're pretty tough. I mean, they're challenge rating one, like obviously because they're just a like, standard like hitman or whatever. But they've got two dagger attacks per round. They can also as well like use enthralling panache, which is similar to like the charming that a pirate captain can do. So again, I felt this is there's a theme with all mine, which apparently I'm drawn to charming monsters.
Yeah,
but I think
that's a good tact though.
But definitely. I think that'd be quite good. So I'm gonna rather than just go for, I feel like also as well the cultist hierophant like is cool and it is a badass thing on its own, but it's more fun to have.
I think, and it's in a lot of adventures, right?
Yeah,
like, I think pirates are a bit more different.
I'm going to go with pirate captain and four pirates is my humanoid room.
From a meta, from DMing this, they've also the pirate captain's got that ability is riposte, is it? Which I think these days, is now means that someone hits him with an attack, you roll, you can. Suddenly boost your AC, like a bit like shield. Mm. You can temporarily boost your AC when you hit with an attack and make it miss, which is always really annoying and great.
Yeah,
and if you do miss, then you can make an attack.
You basically get like if you succeed on that as the pirate captain, you essentially could end up with you could end someone else's round with an attack.
Yeah,
which is cool. So I think they're not that beefy compared to other monsters, but that would be so annoying to try and fight.
But this is the thing, right? Isn't like a good encounter is not always about having just like one single like massive opponent. Like, sometimes it's like well set up little kind of like parties and ambushes. What are you thinking in terms of like the environment?
Ooh, yeah. I was drawn to it as well because I was like Teddy's. A wet boy, and so is Taryn. She's a wet lady.
Yeah.
I can't say that. But I was drawn to it being like, again, like so if you entered into the room, I was actually thinking it would be kind of like, they kind of tried to do it in the latest Gladiator, but when they used to fill the Colosseum with water so then you could have like naval battles.
Yeah.
You'd go into a room and you'd have your own boat. You have to go onto a boat, and then you'd have to use your boat to attack the boat that's already got the pirates.
Oh, that's so good.
Like the beginning of the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly that. Yeah.
Actually, my third pick for humanoid was gladiators, because... They are no slouches.
No, and also as well, haven't they got something about them that's like they've some sort of trait that's like relentless. I can't remember exactly what it's called. But yeah, where they're kind of... Even if they get down to being bloodied, they can end up in sort of like a berserker rage style. And I was like, that just, again, would be bullshit to try and fight.
Humanoids, they're tough.
Turns out we're wankers. Yeah. Who knew? You got another pick, Zach?
All right, so I've got another pick. So far, just a little recap. So I've got, my ooze is five okra jellies surrounding a room. I've got a sort of naval battle encounter room with one pirate captain and four pirates on a separate boat. My fiend is a very angry glabrezu.
I like to think of them as angry.
Angry. Yes.
Super angry.
Yeah, it's quite angsty. Yeah, it's an angsty. Yeah, in fact, actually, yeah, that's better. It's not angry, it's angsty, like a little emo. It's an emo demon predator.
Do you know all of this together? It sounds like a laboo-boo. That's what I'm seeing. It's a little fuckers, except it's properly demonic.
All right. So, and then I'm actually going to go for a new category.
Ooh.
I'm going to go for monstrosity.
Ah.
Okay.
And there were two that I was umming and ahhing about.
Okay. Interesting.
And actually, I think I'm going to go with the funnier option. They were both very funny, but
I think this is going to be a hotly contested.
I thought so as well. There's a lot of category. Good stuff in Monstrosity, and actually, it was quite tempting to go for. There are quite a few difficult traditional monsters to go for.
Yeah,
and none of them caught my eye. All of mine are quite silly that I had written down here. But the one I'm going to actually go for is I'm going to go for one cockatrice regent.
Damn it.
And this is a great shout.
And four cockatrice.
Because right off the top of my list.
Yeah. I thought it would be that. I was like, there were a lot of dumb animals in that bit.
Stupid dragon chickens are what I'm all about.
That's exactly what I've written down. Angry lizard chicken.
Yeah.
And just on their own, they'd be pretty terrifying. But if we bring up the cockatrice region is just, it's basically just a big regent,
yeah,
like big version of this thing, but they are so yeah, bolder than their smaller cousins. Cockatrice regents brim with unstable magical energy. But they're pretty fucking, I reckon they'd be horrible to fight because they've obviously got multi-attack again as well. It's a challenge rating of 8 on its own, which is quite mad. But they've obviously got the talons, they've got petrifying bites.
That's the thing, isn't it?
That's the thing that fucks you up. Like the fact that you get bitten and it has a kind of decaying factor over the course of the rest of the fight.
That is nasty.
Which is crap.
And the little fuckers can do it as well, I think.
Yeah, well, that's and then the four cockatrice, like that, because they're only a half each, their only attack is the petrifying bite. So any damage you take throughout the course of this encounter is going to end up becoming more of a problem the longer the encounter goes on for. And I mean, the hit points in a cockatrice region are wild. Well, it's 136 hit points.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
With an AC of 15 too, so they're actually quite hard to hit. So yeah, so that's my that's
very nice.
The other, I'm interested to know. I'm not going to spoil it yet because there is another one that was very close in my second pick for this category, which again was bird themed. And I want to know if either of that comes up for you too.
It's one I looked at. If it's the same, one I'm thinking of, I did think about it. But we will see, won't we?
We will, because that's me. That's my pick for monstrosity.
Okay, that has definitely narrowed
the field. Well, I'm going to leave monstrosity alone.
Oh,
because I've got two options, and I don't have a lot of faith in either of them. So we'll go. I'm going to go for plants because I think this is. Potentially quite a
toit.
The options get bad.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what you picked actually because I've got rid of my shambling mound that I had.
You're going to be left with petunia, man.
And I'm basically like if you pick similar to what I was thinking, then my third pick, and I'm not going to go through the manual again, is piss poor.
This is what I'm worried about. I'm taking for plants a violent fungus necrohulk. No.
Best named creature in the monster manual.
Okay, and sick. 12 All right.
violet funguses. So this was one that was new to
Okay, me. So I... Yeah, mine is still fungus-based, but it's different.
I think
there
I,
are different
okay,
ones. I think you were to know who it is, but that's actually... Okay, good. All right, good.
So the real fucker about... So this Necrohulk, right? Great. Again, that's my stage name. I think the best thing about it is a big... massive plants that can't really move. You can't really do much to it. It doesn't have, you can't put it under many conditions, but it slams you with its big planty limbs and fairly regularly will chuck a spore bomb at you, which does a load of necrotic damage.
I did like that, yeah.
Poisons you,
yeah,
which makes the whole fight really hard. But it's this thing I think is best. As a bonus action, every turn, it can make any creature within 5 feet, make a strength save, which, Teddy, you might not be able to get him failing a strength save, but fatting glitch.
We're so not going to do
Paddy, Paddy, I was going to say, Paddy is basically, if that encounter, Paddy has got one round to get off his, like, mad firestorm spell that he could do. Yeah.
Otherwise, he's done.
Otherwise, he will take one hit and be
otherwise,
dead.
This will happen. The target is pulled into the Necrohulk's space and becomes grafted to its body. you can only have one thing grafted at a time, and while you're grafted, you're restrained, and you have disadvantage on con saves, which includes the spore bomb. And yeah, you just, you're fucked. You can't do anything while you're literally attached to this big fucking fungus. And then while that's happening, the little violet funguses are just, they're just, you know, they're not super bad, but they're hitting you for necrotic damage every turn, hopefully.
They'd be annoying, yeah.
And there's 12 of them, so they can just tie you up. I mean, one of those could deal with glitch, and then...
I think basically, yeah, there are a lot of options in that encounter for it to go...
Really Petong.
Really Petong.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Okay,
for.
Nice. All right, good. And actually, it does leave my plant pick still available, so okay, I'm happy with that.
Nice.
Okay, Mr. Green Fingers. It's your pick right now.
Is it not Liam's pick?
Oh, is it?
No, it's mine, yeah.
Yeah, it's Liam's pick.
No, I'm deciding to give it to Zach.
Oh, that's mean.
No, okay,
but also, yours. I'm taking it. okay, I'm going to pick... I'm going to go for Fiend because
you're a fiend.
I'd be desperately sad if I didn't get to pick this one because I'm going to go for the Yolchlol.
Yeah, I did. I thought about nicking this, but I think I've got a good one.
Yeah. So Yolchlol. Now, what you're probably going to see when you first encounter one of these is either a fairly normal humanoid looking cultist or a giant spider. Because that is the form that they traditionally take.
Oh, interesting.
So it's only when you attack them that they sort of reveal their true form, which is this like writhing mass of tentacles, this kind of like Lovecraftian, like, you know, nightmare. And these things are really, really nasty.
I think it looks a bit, the illustration in the Monster Manual looks a bit like a cheese string.
Yeah, it's got a bit like Yogg-Sothoth crossed with a cheese string. Yeah, absolutely.
I like that, yeah. It's
a cheese string.
It is quite cheese string. Is it supposed to be wood? No.
No, I think it's kind of just like horrible stuff.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, it's this kind of like caustic, like,
yeah, okay,
gloopy,
fine.
like monstrosity. It has some really, really nasty things it can do. It can web people up. It can detect thoughts. It can lash out with these tentacles. It can also like dominate people, like dominate their will. But I honestly think the nastiest thing that it does is
just, sorry, that makes me think like it gets, you send you to one of those fucking incel boot camps where it just shouts, "You're a worm, what are you? You're a fucking worm, get on the floor." Wakes you up at 6 a.m, pisses in your face.
Turns into a little spider.
Yeah.
Like it can shapeshift, obviously, that's like one of their other main things, but its reaction to being hit is one of the nastiest things it does, where basically it halves the attack damage, immediately teleports, and if you fail a constitution saving throw, you are poisoned as a result of having been hit.
So it farts in your face and then runs away.
And then it's just off.
Bye!
Yeah.
Brutal.
So yeah, I think they're proper nasty.
Okay.
All right. So that's my big
Yolchlol.
Yeah, my big Yolchlol is my fiend pick. I think I'm going to go for giants next. And,
okay.
I am going to go if you'll permit me, I'm going to go with 3 Ettins and then 1 extra Ettin that's missing a head.
I like that. Yeah,
Edless Ettin.
Yeah, an Edless Ettin.
I did peruse Ettin. I thought that could be a way... I like the idea of being a two-headed giant.
Yeah.
So is the... Now, Headless Ettin is going to die in the course of the fight?
No, he got better. It's an old wound.
Okay.
But yeah, Ettins are... they're kind of like mountain sort of like... Like ogre-y type things. Mm. Like giant things. They have two heads. Honestly, they're big and dumb. What I will say is the one-headed one, so they have multi-attack Ettins, which I've sort of chosen to believe is because they've got two heads.
Yes, one per head.
So I think the one-headed one has single attack.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, basically they're pretty dumb, but I think meeting 3.5 of these in an encounter would be pretty nasty.
I think just by sheer... like overwhelming power, they'd be hard for anyone to fight. You'd need quite a big adventuring party, I think, to deal with 3 of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus also one that's been maimed.
Oh, sorry. When I didn't mean 3, I meant 2.
Oh, yeah.
2 and then one that, 2 and then one that's maimed. Okay, yeah, fine.
And I'm sort of imagining like sort of the environment is maybe a bit rocky, so maybe you're fighting them on their own, like, home turf.
Oh, I think
these, like, live up in the mountains sort of thing. But yeah, I think they're big tough guys. I think they'll be more than a match for the Wishbone Boys.
That would be beefy. I reckon it'd be the kind of thing where we would very capably get rid of one quite quickly.
Yeah.
And then have a real problem with the
real
rest.
Like, we would have, I think we'd absolutely like spunk spell slots on the getting rid of one quickly, and then we'd be relying on, like, Teddy having quite decent melee attacks and then Glitch stabbing from a distance.
Yeah. we must be approaching the final furlong here, right?
Yeah, we've just kind of rattled through, actually, but do you want a breakdown so far?
Yeah, why don't you tell us what we're rolling?
Well, everyone's got, me and Zach have got 3 picks left, so, and you've got 2 picks left.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you go per category?
Okay, category 1 for Fiend, Yoklol for Liam, Nothing for Loz, and a Glabrezu for Zach.
Angry Glabrezu. Angsty.
Yeah. His parents are getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Yep. He's gonna direct his his misplaced charm about that.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, he's kind of angsty in the way that, like, if he's annoyed about his parents getting a divorce and he's charming by nature, we're kind of describing an emo fuckboy.
Yeah, right.
He's an emo fuckboy.
Quite gaslighty in his approach to how he talks to people.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay, that's quite real. For Giants, 2.5 Yetins for Liam. Actually, I should have asked, is it rather than being one of them headless, is it actually you've got Charlie Sheen, the other one, and the kid from 2.5 Men?
Yeah. Okay. Nice, yeah.
As
yeah.
Yetins. I think that's better. Yeah. I've got a Cyclops Oracle. Winning Tiger's Blood. I got a Cyclops Oracle, Zach's got no Giants.
I haven't picked a Giant yet, nope.
Humanoids, Liam's got a gaggle of twats performing Ernest. Yeah. 1 performer Maestro, 8 performers. I've got a Noble Prodigy, Zach's got a Pirate Captain and 4 Pirates. For the next category, which is Monstrosity, Nothing for Liam, Nothing for Loz, a Cockatrice Regent and 4 Cockatrices for Zach.
Yeah. Which I've been thinking about it since Liam's been talking, and I'd like my Cockatrice Regent to have a crown.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hashtag no kings.
For Ooze, 5 gelatinous cubes for Liam, 2.5 black puddings for Loz, also played by Charlie Sheen, the other guy and the kid.
Yeah.
And 5 ochre jellies for Zach.
This does now sound like our breakfast order at Holiday Inn.
Cockatrice eggs. Mm. For plants, 2 shambling mounds for Liam, a violent fungus necrohulk, and 12 violet funguses for Loz, nothing for Zach. And for the final category,
none of us have picked anything.
No one's picked undead.
That's interesting.
I'm actually feeling quite good about all the variants that I've got down for undead.
Well, let's put that to the test, shall we? Because I think I should probably pick undead.
Are you going to pick undead now?
Well, okay, I'm going to go for undead then, as I said, undead. And this is one which we talked last week about Curse of Strahd and how much I love Curse of Strahd. I think this is quite an embodiment of a Curse of Strahd baddie. I'm picking the Haunting Revenant, which doesn't sound like much. Mm. But what if I told you it was, reads from the Monster Manual, Haunting Revenants possess ruins and forsaken places connected with their desks. Wow, deaths. I've been at work today, guys. Can you tell? Such as a
band. You are the Haunted Revenant.
I am the Haunted Revenant, and my fucking desk is my haunting.
Yeah.
Abandoned buildings, wrecked ships, or junk heaps. And they lurk there, wait for their foes near, and then trap their victims within their massive haunted bodies. So in this case, the Haunted Revenant is going to be a spooky house. Final Fantasy Hell House, something like that. You go into a room in this dungeon, and there in front of you is a haunted house.
Wait, so how do you attack? Do you have to attack the house?
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, you have to hit the house with your weapons and everything. You got to smack up that house.
It'd be quite easy to smack the house, though.
Ah, but what if I told you that it can? You know, it's pretty beefy, right? It's going to hit you with a big slam twice a turn, which is going to do a lot of damage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Most importantly, it can invite you every turn. It may issue an invitation to everyone in a big cone, And the invitation is an invitation to a party, but the party is inside the Revenant's belly. You get, basically, if you fail this save, you get teleported inside of the Revenant's shit.
But the good lettering is so pretty on this invite. Oh no!
I'm here forever. The canapes are terrible. Yeah, and if you're in there, you can't get hurt, right? You're immune to all effects and damage, but you also cannot get out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
swallow. As a homeowner, that's deeply related. There's no escape, but I am protected in some regards.
Exactly, in some regards. Not from attacks. So yeah, I will swallow probably the beefiest of the boys, and I'm looking at Zach because it's going to be Teddy. And then I will wail on the other two.
Yeah, and to be fair, that it does kind of... Teddy would very easily succumb to that imitation, I think, for one. But then also, if Paddy's got one sixth level spell, if that doesn't work, then it is just going to be quite sad watching the two of you try and chip away at a house's sort of foundations.
Just sort of imagining you just like knocking at the door.
Hello.
Is anyone there?
Yeah, in fact, that would be very much that it wouldn't be, the invitation would be required. Paddy would have demanded entry to the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true. Also, I needed like a big lad on my list. I don't really have many big lads.
Yeah, what's the challenge rating?
It's straight on 10.
He's the big tenola. Oh.
He's the big tenola. So, you know, suck it. Yeah. Basically.
That's a pretty good, that's a good
that
undead.
That is good.
Does that concludes the undead picks then?
No, I've still got a pick.
You both still come to come.
Oh, of course we have. Yeah, that's true.
So, Zach, you've got giant plant and undead available
to you.
All right,
okay. It's my pick now, isn't it?
It's your pick. It's a doubler.
Oh, it's a doubler. Okay, Pat. So I'm actually gonna continue on the undead vibe.
On the ghost train.
And I thought undead was a very good category, having never been through the Monster Manual before. Because I just assumed it'd be quite boring, because there's only so many things you can do with an undead this or an undead that.
Oh, so many.
There's so many undead things in
there. Yeah.
I think I told you guys before, like one of my favourite bits of reference material I have is someone's done all the Witcher enemies.
Oh, nice.
As a DM guide. So many great zombies.
Like the kind of the Kikimora style.
Yes. Oh, the Kikimora is the,
that's
the kind
awesome.
Of the,
yeah,
the nasty that is really vampires. Good. There's really good like ghosts in there.
Oh, nice.
Which
yeah.
I'm not swaying any picks. Ghosts are good.
No, I did. Ghosts I was thinking about undead. Ghosts. I was actually thinking, I think the undead's good for combining a lot of things into one. Because actually most of the really big beefy undead guys are all like actually ridiculously high challenge rates.
Oh, like the Death Knight
or the kind of like Necro King or all that kind of stuff. But
are you trying to squeeze another king into your pick somehow?
I was thinking I was gonna try and create a zombie horde, but actually, I'm gonna go for a ghast, and I'm gonna go for five ghasts.
Ooh,
and ghasts, they're not like the most exciting in terms of how they attack.
They're fucking gross though.
They're ghouls, but they're ghouls specifically
little green ghouls.
Little ghouls that are specifically drawn to the. They want obviously. You know, living flesh like all ghouls do, but specifically the vices that they enjoy when they were alive.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of, particularly for the Wishbone boys, that would essentially mean that we had five ghouls that were all like ex-stoners back in the day, because being like attracted to Liam's wacky tabacky and Paddy's like magic vape.
Oh, the little
ripping cotton.
I thought they'd be essentially undead drug fiends is kind of what I went for. That's my pick. You know, and they've got this thing where they emanate every turn. So in my head, these are five ghasts in quite a small space.
Yeah.
And they emanate up to, I think it's like a 10-foot radius, but it's essentially, it's a bad smell that requires you to make a constitution saving throw. Otherwise you're incapacitated.
They're dank.
They're gross. And I thought a room full of those would be horrible.
I mean, it's just images of like five undead drug fiends desperate for their next fix.
This fits perfectly in with your like MRA like incel sort of like roster you've built.
Yeah, that's true.
I have
unwittingly built a quite incel-y vibe.
I'm looking at it now and it's also like, it's not that, it's just like podcast empire vibes as well. It's one of those ones when you've got some dickhead and all of their little mates who are vile as well.
A lot of my pictures that there is one charismatic leader that has...
Surrounded by a dozen little Hammonds.
Yeah, there's kind of like, little Hammonds, exactly. There's a charisma, and also the charismatic leaders like are all vaguely like gross and they have their natural monster abilities, but then they all they all rely on charm and charisma to undermine the party. God. And so basically, there's variations of different forms of D&D Andrew Tate.
Yeah.
Is
I'm glad you didn't get the actor legend anymore because you'd have made him a pickup artist.
Oh, that would have been so good. The performing legend was a character from the game.
Yeah, actually, yeah. My noble prodigy is that. That guy got voted off strictly. He goes bosh all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
And my last pick, Salt Bay.
So that's my undead pick. It's five ghasts, yeah, five drug fiend ghasts.
Nice. I like it.
And then I'm gonna round off the plant pick.
Oh, yeah.
With my next one.
Yeah.
Which does, again, still follow the theme of a leader and supporting cast.
Yeah. Lovely.
But not in Selly, because actually I think, as Loz, you've mentioned in the past when we spoke about this, is they're not, they're very, they're not human in any way.
Uh-huh. Which one are you talking about, incels?
Incels are people too, Liam.
Yeah.
They have rights and they're constantly telling us about those rights. I've gone for four myconid rather than mycenid. Myconid.
I think it is. I'm thinking of Baldur's Gate 3, which they feature in very heavily. I think they are myconid, but it's mycelium, isn't it?
I don't know.
We'll go myconid.
So I've got four myconid sovereigns and then four myconid spore servants.
Ooh, yeah, that's, I mean...
it's another
all,
king.
They've all got a little lapdog.
Yeah.
There's, for each Clarkson, there's a Hammond.
Yeah, exactly. I've definitely kept it on that theme, but actually what drew me to this was not so much their charismatic sway over... like swarms of vulnerable people. It was the fact that when I was reading through it, it was basically The Last of Us meets D&D, and I was like, I have to.
Oh,
pick that
is nice.
So that's
what
I wanted.
Yeah.
And so they've gone for that. So I kind of thought whether it's, you know, Ellie and Joel or it's just the Wishbone Boys, they would kind of suck. And in terms of they're not particularly beefy. Like you could get through them, but there's obviously quite a lot of them in quite a small room, and they all they release spores,
different types
of spores throughout different rounds. So they're either kind of spores that would like poison. So I think the spore servants just kind of emit that.
Yeah.
But then the sovereigns also release a spore that's like pacifying, where they essentially stun you by making you like lethargic and sleepy, which I thought was quite fun.
I think Vatic's on the verge of a nap at almost all times. So
I think it would take
nothing to not to send push him over the edge.
And, and there's no way that Paddy wouldn't immediately inhale the spore.
Yeah.
There's no way that he wouldn't immediately.
That's true. Yeah.
What's that cloud?
I'm sure it's good for me.
He's going to be honking on that mush pipe.
Yep, exactly.
Dank mush.
So that's what. That's my plan. That kind of rounds off the plan.
They're also. Section. I think one thing that's definitely true in the game and is true in D&D as well, Baldur's Gate 3, the game, they can make you telepathic against your will as well.
Oh shit.
Nice.
Do you remember that in the game? They can they literally can bring you into their little, because they're like a hive mind, right?
That's they're kind of hive mind. So I'm kind of assuming for the purpose of this, I mean, if you killed the sovereign, I'm assuming the spore related to that sovereign wouldn't do that well.
Maybe, yeah.
That's how they operate in the game.
They can also raid if they can raise up the ones who die, but it is just an endless stream of like brainworms coming from these podcasters at all times.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're powerless to resist.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I was thinking. I think that alongside all my other picks, it's appealing. It's not just being a beefy monster, it's also appealing to the insecurities of the adventurers they're coming up against.
Yeah, what do we hear from otherwise? Okay, cool. I like that. Really good pick.
Yeah,
they were on my list.
Were they?
An option. Okay, yeah, nice. Yeah, definitely. Exactly that composition. Well, okay.
What have you got left?
Well, I've got fiends or monstrosity. And I think you've been making a few noises about monstrosity being a bit of a shit option.
I struggled with monstrosity quite
a lot.
So
I'm going to get in there to make your life difficult, hopefully.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to take, you know them, you love them, you've even killed one.
Oh, fuck!
Three basilisks.
No!
Yes, three grunkles, baby.
Oh, grunks.
Three's quite heavy.
Yeah, absolutely. For those, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, a basilisk.
He's got three grunk in the trunk.
Three grunk in my trunk, and there's room for more. They are, I imagine them as like kind of Komodo dragons, very low to the ground lizards. But they can crucially petrify you with their eyes. So I'm actually was thinking of a kind of House of Mirrors setup for these three.
Oh shit! Yeah.
You literally can't.
Yeah, you've got Medusa and.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, maybe not House of Mirrors. Maybe it's more like some very strategically placed mirrors.
Okay.
So you think you're being very clever, but actually there's a little. Oh, there's a wing mirror behind you. Whoa.
A wing mirror.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Would you remember in a?
In fact,
remember,
it's not a house, it's just a car park.
Yeah.
It's just one mirror
it's
ball
just a
in
Toyota
the middle.
Prius with three so basilisk in it.
They can, if you every turn they can try and petrify you if you can see them. And I feel like it's not that difficult to get out of. It's a DC 12 con save to get out of. But I think there are three of them doing it to you every turn.
Yeah, that's a lot of con saves.
And on the first one you fail, you can't like move, you're restrained, so it's a bit easier to land a hit on you. But if the second one, you're petrified.
Nah.
So two strikes and you are fucked. And I think I could get you three with that. Although knowing, do you know what? Of the three of you, Pads has got some bullshit up his sleeve to get out of there.
Oh, he's gonna rip a massive cloud and obscure their vision or something.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe. I also think. I'm more inclined to believe that Paddy's MO in every time we fight a zombie is particularly. I'm actually just quite scared of any of these encounters with Paddy because they're all in a confined space, and his go-to is to essentially nuke in a radius.
Yeah,
and so like, I actually think
if we're actually in that space, all the better.
He's going to glass it. He's going
to
glass.
Paddy
the
is
radius.
Actually basically a handicap to us being able to overcome every encounter anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
You know, petrifying lizards.
It's a day's work.
Yeah, good pick, Laurie.
Yeah,
good
sorry,
pick.
Mate. Well, Liam, back to you. You've got... Oh, it looks like the monstrosity category today.
And this is Liam rounding out his
and
roster.
Is, and you've still got zombies to go as well.
All right, well, I'll leave the zombies till last because I actually think I've got a decent pick for that.
Get the shit one out of the way. That's
it. Yeah, okay. So, this one's got a challenge rating of 23, so I'm going to have to...
Okay, yeah, that's going to need a bit of tuning down, mate. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to go for an absolutely buggered kraken.
buggered how?
I'm thinking maybe it's only got three limbs.
Okay, pretty
it's,
buggered.
It's landlocked, so it's just in quite a small room and it's just flopping about.
That would still, that would still suck. That would be a hard thing to kill.
I'm imagining a room that has nothing else but kraken in, and that's tough.
Yeah, it'd be horrible. It's just, you go in and at first you don't really know what you're looking at. It's just like one big eye.
Yeah.
And I guess the challenge rating aspect of it being the dumbed down is, I mean, it would be very easy to hit in a confined space.
Oh, yeah.
But if you take one hit,
you're
kind of fucked, and there's no way it wouldn't hit you.
I think some of the things that it can normally do, like it can grab people and eat people. There's a lot of like its limbs, like I mean, it's got multi-attack. I think we're going to take all of that away. It's going to not be able to throw single attacks. It's like tentacle whip ability. It's got like it's weird. Like,
that's still
it's
a
plus 17 to hit.
I was
going to
say
like
that's
that.
Still basically a Russian roulette style of like D&D turn base where you have to get it done within two or three turns because you can't take more than one hit.
I think that's the only way that this is going to be fair. Like, I really wish that I really felt like the monstrosities either fell into the way too powerful or it's like dozens of little fuckers, and I didn't want more dozens of little fuckers.
I also didn't I with the monstrosities, I mean, because I went for obviously the cockatrice king and his cockatrice servants, which was, but I also the most of the monstrosities, they were quite traditional.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
I wanted to have something different. So that's why my second pick behind the cockatrice regent and his buddies was just two giant axe beaks because I thought that would be fun.
Oh shit! What are they?
They're just they kind of look like dodos but massive with their beak being an axe.
Oh nice!
And I thought if you put two of those in a confined room, that would suck.
Yeah,
because they also have like a they're kind of like they have a similar sort of like attack pattern to like rhinos.
Yeah,
which I know Paddy.
Really went into last time. Went big on Rhino. To be fair, Beast is a shite category.
Yeah.
But I thought that like if their whole thing is charging and hitting with an axe, like you kind of again similar to the Kraken. If they're in a confined space, you've got one or two times to not avoid that.
Yeah,
it could be nasty,
definitely.
I really like face spiders was one of my options. Who are just a great.
Well, thanks for suggesting all these ones that would have been better than
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I like a third of a kraken is fun though.
Yeah, third of a kraken is fun. The other one, this would have been if Paddy was in the room. No, weirdly, if Paddy was voting, which I guess he could be on this. One option was, I think, Kenku are a CR a half, or maybe even a quarter.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, Kenku, which are bird, they're bird people, they can mimic voices perfectly.
I did see all those, yeah, you could create a lot, and they can...
And I thought, if you had 40 of them, all pretending to be like your mum, that would be awful.
Yeah, because like, the mimic as well is quite... I remember reading that, maybe I've got this like wrong in my head, but isn't the mimic is kind of overpowered in the sense that you don't really have a chance to resist it?
You do have a chance, but I think it's... let me get it up. It's a... you have to make an insight check.
Oh, yeah, that was right? It. Yeah, insight check.
So if they're like... And they are CR a quarter, so it would be a 40 of them. Jeez, yeah. All being like... like, that would, I think, would drive you guys insane.
It would be like Happy Feet.
It would be like Happy Feet.
The one, the other
one of them sounds like Morgan Freeman. It's amazing.
The other one that I had when it came to creating like a room full of things, which I was like also like thinking about for a couple of categories, was in the plant category. There's a really really weak undead type of plant, which is the larva.
Right.
Which essentially they are, so they're the condemned souls turned into like maggots. So that they're kind of like maggots in the kind of, I assume, the plane before hell.
They've
not got to hell yet. They've been there so long in purgatory that they've then turned into
lava. Yeah.
But they're tiny in terms of like how powerful they are. So you'd have 10 swarms of lava in one room. And I was thinking like walking into a room, even though you would essentially just be hacking your way through that room to the door on the other side, but it would just be a room filled to the brim with like maggots turned souls.
Each like, one that is, just like...
That was gross.
I'm still a person, you know.
Yeah. That's exactly how
a room full of maggots
well.
Would actually fit your category.
It really would, an audience as well. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, so that was my other...
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's so that rounds your lot. Oh, no, it doesn't.
Oh, no, wait.
He's still got undead.
Yes, that's right. Okay, for undead, I was also tempted by 40 zombies. Basically, do a George Romero shopping mall full of zombies.
That would be fun.
But in the end, I went for a pair of zombie beholders.
Oh, very nice.
Because, like, beholders are really fucking nasty. The zombie versions aren't quite as nasty.
But they're also like a, you know, absolute.
Oh, they're a main
stalwart D&D opponent, right? They're like the number one monster I think of.
Absolutely, yeah. They like I can't remember which monster manual it was that they're on the cover of, but it's one of the classic ones. Obviously really nasty. They like shoot these rays from their eyes. They've got that ability that all undead have, where they, if you knock them below zero hit points, you kind of
they kind of come right back.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Like you got to do a con. They do a con save, and if they pass it, then they return with one hit point. The thing that I really, for some reason, it really stuck out to me when I was reading it this time was they speak. They speak two languages. They speak like, is it like deep something or other? And undercommon, I think it is.
Right.
But they can't speak. They just understand it. So, like, if you give them some sass, they'll understand what you're saying but not be able to respond.
Which like would that, actually be quite disconcerting for, like, say, Teddy is beefy, but a lot of his other skills rely on him being, like, charismatic in a room. If he had no option to, like, form a rapport, would hamper him quite a
but
lot.
But they'd be able to, like, look at you and be like, well, I fucking heard that. And I know what you said.
Yeah. Just occasionally, they say something that you just, they give you one of those looks that's like, wow.
Yeah, wow.
A judgy zombie.
Yeah,
they've really got
two judgy zombies.
With multiple eyes to judge you with as well. Yeah.
That rounds out my pick.
Nice.
That's a very strong roster. I think after your draft, I wouldn't.
Well, listen, we'll give everyone a rundown in a second. We can.
All right, okay. Let's round off.
We'll also do. If anyone's got any more kind of almost picked.
Okay,
fine.
My last pick is going to be for Fiend. This was one where you guys got some good big lads. Your Yoklol and your Angsty Glabrezu.
Yeah.
I'm going to go different tact. Are you familiar with a Mains Vapor Spawn?
No.
Well, prepare to get familiar with it. They are, I'm going to pick 10 of them. They're CR1. These are little fuckers. Let me just show you. I'll show you a little picture. Here you go. There's a big one and a little one.
Oh, Jesus.
They're horrible.
Oh,
they are gross.
These are, I'll read from the book, they arise from evil souls shattered by unspeakable torments or the depredations of more powerful demons. These distorted manes undergo endless painful contortions and they share their torment with whatever creatures they encounter. Which, in reality, means they've got a few good things. They're also, like the ooze, is able to move through spaces and areas 1 inch.
Nice,
they're like
yeah.
constantly writhing and changing. They also have a an aura, they sickening vapors, it's called. Every turn, anything that's within 5 feet of it has to make a con save. If it fails, then it's incapacitated till the next turn.
That's this ridiculous. So in a room filled with 10 of them, that's every time anything happens, you make a con save.
Any time you finish your turn next to them, yeah. Which, believe me, if I'm in control of them, they're going to be doing a lot.
This is very, they're very kind of Silent Hill kind of.
Really Silent, yes, exactly. Yeah, kind of faceless.
Yeah. Juddering.
And what's their actual attack? Are they just slashing?
Not great. Like it's just like a regular attack that does some necrotic damage. They're not like, if you came up in a fair fight against one, it's not a big fight.
But 10 of them in a small space.
You're going to make sure it's not a fair fight.
I'm going to make sure. I think they're real dickhead baddies. And I think having 10 is like, you know, there's a lot of like, we're doing the maths of this all a bit wrong, right? Because combat rating kind of changes. If you have more monsters, the combat rating, you're meant to kind of skew it lower.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Right? So taking 10 of anything, but these in particular, it's like, yeah, comparing it to a 1 CR10 thing is like, they could be potentially...
Much nastier.
Yeah. They've got 19 hit points though. So if you can smack one in the face, it will basically fall over.
Yeah.
Can you smack one?
That because they're also jumping through.
And they can squeeze through cracks. Stuff. Yeah.
I'm like looking at Zach right in the eyes. I'm saying, can you smack one? You can try.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could. I definitely couldn't with a normal dice.
No,
a weighted dice. So yeah, that's my last choice. 10 mains vapor swarm.
So that leaves me with my final choice, then, isn't it?
Which is giant.
Yeah.
Gigante.
Which is and. See, it's kind of annoying following that one because that's quite fun. But I said at the top when we were talking about it, I did think the giant category was my least favorite to pick from because
they're the least exciting.
Yeah, the least exciting.
Yeah, it's got big. Obviously, it's got big things. But.
Exactly. You got the Oracle. Like,
well, someone really did the homework, Liam.
I thought the Cyclops Oracle was fun. And so actually, I'm maybe quite boring with my final pick, and I'm just going to pick a fire giant. It's a challenge rating of 9.
Oh, I like it.
And, I mean, so again, it would be, rather than angsty, I think this one would be actually angry.
Nice.
But makes it would sense. Just be an angry fire giant. Because, I mean, again, they're not. There's not much to them in terms of, there's no magical sort of confounding when you fight them, but they are
fiery,
incredibly beefy.
Latin temperaments.
Yeah. And they've got, yeah. In fact, and actually, yeah, that's an added layer to this. This particular fire giant is dressed... like a flamenco dancer.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to burn you if you come too close.
And
so good.
In fact, he's got a flaming sword, which would be some sort of like flaming Spanish rapier.
Yeah.
And his hammer throw, I'm assuming I that would turn that into like maracas.
Yeah, nice.
Would be
kind of
like him clicking maracas really, really intensely.
I'm
going
to take out the word angry and I'm writing spicy fire giant.
Oh, we'll take it that way. Yeah, nice.
The picantes.
And they are, as I said, there's not much to them other than they are big and fiery, but that would be quite
gigante
a shit fight.
Picante.
Gigante picante. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and as well, I did think in terms of, particularly for the Wishbone Boys, I said a lot of my picks were specifically to fight the Wishbone Boys. Immune to fire, so it completely nullifies our magic guy.
Yeah, literally, wow. The only
it
good
completely
spell
completely nullifies
has.
Him. Not all bad. Of his other fires.
I suppose I'm just gonna have to jump really high now.
But it's also because he's a giant as well. He's not susceptible to like chill touch in any particular way. It's not like he's got a weakness or vulnerability to that. He's just a normal giant that is immune to Paddy's level 6 spell.
I mean, listen, it's cute when I come up with ways to kill Paddy creatively, but when the two of you do it when he's not in the room, it's
seems mean, yeah.
We've got
it feels mean. Here. Almost like as if someone had just come out of surgery and then was defamed.
if for something to be defamatory, it has to not be true, Zach, unfortunately. Okay, well, look, that was a good... I think we've got some great lineups here. Would you like to hear your horrible manager?
I think, yeah, let's round up and then give...
Do you want them by category or by player?
I was going to say player.
Were you just saying player? Category? Let's do player.
Each lineup. So listeners, we will put these lineups in the Discord and please vote for your favourite in the next 2 weeks and we will unveil the winning lineup in the next episode, hopefully, if we're done by then. Actually, probably won't be the next episode. Probably be the episode after that.
At some point.
Some point in the near future.
And I think that, I mean, actually, given the fact that our schedule is up and down.
Could be.
You have to keep listening forever until we reveal the...
That's really why we're doing this.
We're holding these hostage.
Liam, have you got a subtitle for your bunch of fuckers? Or would you... Should I read them out and then you can think about it?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So your lineup is 1, Yok Lol, horrible demon-y thing.
Yeah.
2, Etins and a one-headed Etin.
Yeah.
1, performer maestro and 8 performers performing The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah.
A shit kraken.
A shit kraken, yeah.
Kraken, a dry dock kraken.
A cra.
5.
That got me like seconds later. That's so stupid.
5 gelatinous cubes.
Oh man, I'm proud of that.
Again, in my head, it's just like a pack of jelly making cubes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
2 shambling mounds and 2 beholder zombies.
Nice. Okay,
that's pretty. Yeah, that's nasty.
I'm definitely getting a kind of like Lovecraftian hordes sort of. I'm going to call them the Beasts from Beyond.
The Beasts from Beyond, nice. Featuring too many tentacles.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Plus The Importance of Being
performed.
Yes.
Okay, my lineup is...
Who wrote Born to Be Honest again?
Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde. Yeah. So could it be Wild's Beast from Beyond?
Oh, yeah. Wild Beasts.
Wild's Beasts. Okay. Yeah. Beasts from Beyond.
I thought it was Oscar Wilde, and I was like, if I make that joke and then have that wrong, that'd be bad.
The creator,
from the Wild Blue Yonder.
From the
nice.
Yeah, yeah, we got there.
Okay, from the Wild Blue Yonder. I have got 10 mains vapor spawn, a Cyclops Oracle, a Noble Prodigy, 3 Basilisks, 2.5 Black Puddings, my breakfast order, Violet Fungus Necrohulk, and 12 Violet Funguses, and a Haunting Revenant.
Would yours? I can't really think of a theme with yours.
Your theme is tell me I'm a DM without telling.
Yeah, I was going to say it's either I've read the Monster Manual, or it's a collection of people that would never meet in a bar. Yeah.
Fresh as week.
Free bastards.
Yeah, Monsters Fresh as Week.
Yeah, Monsters Fresh as Week.
Monsters. Wow, they're fucking PhD students. Okay. Okay,
all right, fine.
I do like Monsters Fresh as Week. Like monster. Ready for this? Monsters Freshers Ball.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
All right. They've done a year, so they've seen some stuff.
That makes sense. But they're probably not going to hang out next year because they've realised there's actually people they want to spend more time with.
Now, Zach, we all think we know what these
are. We've been going through my theme as we've been unveiling the picks. I've got a suggested name that we can decide afterwards if it is. But okay. I feel like mine would be Monsters with an X account.
Monsters of X, even.
Monsters of X.
You've got an angsty Glabrazu, a spicy fire giant, or Gigante Picante.
Yeah.
A pirate captain and 4 pirates, a cockatrice regent and 4 cockatrices, 5 ochre jellies, 4 myconid sovereigns and 4 myconid adults, and 5 ghasts. Yeah, yours is giving a real, like, horde of fuckers energy.
A lot of mine are collections of people in a pub that you wouldn't want to sit near.
It's quite something when your entire lineup, the people that you're like, oh, the only people I want to spend time with are pirates.
I think they would all make up the sort of the shit corner of a party.
Yeah.
So, which I quite like. I think
yours should be called ratioed.
Actually, it works because he's also got like multiple people in every encounter.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Ratioed is good.
I like Monsters of X as well.
Yeah, you can have both, I think.
Yeah. Or maybe Elon's Beastie Boys.
Elon's Beastie Boys is so good. Okay. So, listeners, we would love to know. You please vote for your favourite from the Wild Blue Yonder. the Monsters Freshers Ball and Ratio / Elon's Beastie Boys on the Discord. There'll be a link in the show description. But well done, boys. That was a great draft.
Yeah, that was fun. Look. I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that Paddy's away so I can get involved now.
I'm glad you got to do it, man. Listen, I can't wait until I finally run out of DM ideas and you're just going to have these six dungeons in close, like, week after the other. It's going to be great. All right. We'll be back soon.
That's all I'm saying.